look first on the point that grace and law do not mix. Faith and works do not mix. It's the same thing. And you're going to see that the Bible uses both terms. That is, that package or system God gave to the Israelite through Moses, referred to both in Old and New Testament as the law. That system does not work with the gospel. It was never meant by God to work with the gospel. Did you hand me anything? Oh, it's right. I look down there and see a little bungle. It's my key, so I'm wondering if I'd left. But it's right on me. Yes. They do not work together. And you see, a lot of time we reason, but our reasoning is completely contrary to God's will and purpose. We'll reason. But Brother Mitchell, the two system was from God, and no, God doesn't see it like that. The Almighty God gave the law, the Ten Commandments system, the Sabbath, the Levitical priesthood, all of that is one package. God gave that to Lars. Yes, just up to the time of the cross. The law. It was meant to last just up until Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, after I have dealt with, hoping that I can take 10, 15 minutes dealing with what I'm dealing with now, that the two systems do not mix, I may go to another point to help us understand when exactly did the New Testament become a force. When did the administration of grace come into being? Because that will help us to understand when the law ends. You know, when passage like Mark 16:16, the law and the prophet was until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached and men press into it. You see, that word until is a time element, meaning up to that point. Now, that Jesus Christ speaking, you know, in that passage, that the law and the prophet was up to that point. But so let us look, as I've said, the two systems do not mix. God didn't intend for them to mix. The Bible teaches this, and we're going to look at many passages. But let us take God's illustration. You just cannot miss the illustration that God gives. Let us turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 22 through 25. Somebody read that aloud for me.
For written,
for it is written
that Abraham had two sons.
Abraham had two sons.
The one by a bondmaid.
The one by a slave woman.
and the other by a free woman.
The other by a free woman, a woman who was not a slave. Wait. We are here talking, the Bible is speaking about Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Hagar, Abraham's slave. She was a slave. Now, most, if not all of us, know the lesson, the story, that the Almighty God, Sarah, did not have any children. And the Almighty God had made a promise. Are we all there? That he's going to bless them with a child. But years passed. Sarah was getting up in age. Abraham was getting up in age. And they wonder. Sarah went and encouraged Abraham. It's like, let us help God out. The way we help God out is do what he says. You cannot help God out by going contrary to his will. Let us help God out. So she, Abraham's wife, encouraged Abraham to go and relate sexually to the slave, Hagar. Remember, she was a slave in their home. And Abraham did just that, and she conceived and bring forth Hagar, Ishmael rather. Now, take up from where you start, brother.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
The one who was born from the slave woman, referring to Ishmael, he was born from Hagar the slave. They represent secularity, physicality, the flesh, the world, and godliness.
But he of the free woman was by promise.
The one that was born of the free woman, that is Abraham's true wife, Sarah. The son that Sarah brought forth with her husband, that is Isaac, was of what, brother?
By promise.
That's the child of promise. Read on.
Which things are an allegory.
Watch here now. To us, it's just a biological thing. There's nothing spiritual in it. Yes, there are big lessons God is teaching humanity. Wait. Watch here. Lot of the things which took place between Abraham, Hagar, Ishmael, and all of that, it's human disobedience and sinfulness. Are we there? But the Almighty God can use anything for his own purpose. So God has a lesson for this, or in this. Read on.
Which things are an allegory?
Which things are an allegory? It is an allegory. In other words, there is a lesson that the Almighty God had in these two women and their two sons. And it's a lesson that we must not miss. Read on.
For these are the two covenants.
You hear that? You see? These two boys. That's the way country people would say two boys. These two children are two covenants. That is, one represents the Old Testament covenant and one represent the New Testament covenant. Wait, one represent law and one represent grace. That's right. But Brother Vijay, yes, two children from two women look like pure coincidence. But the Almighty God has lesson in it. They represent what, brother? Two
covenants.
Covenant. Two different agreements. Read on.
The one from Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm. Where did Moses get the Ten Commandments, which is referred to as the covenant? The Ten Commandments are words of the covenant. And one of the things you must keep in mind, whenever the Bible speaks about the covenant, referring to the Mount Sinai covenant, it is referring to the Ten Commandments. That's right. Always the Ten Commandments is always in focus when the Bible speaks about the covenant, referring to the Sinaitic covenant. There are two covenants, the two children, two boys, represent two covenants that God will make with humanity. One of them, that is one of the covenant with the children of Israel, and the children of Israel only. Read on.
The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar.
You hear that? That is Agar and her son represent bondage, slavery. That's the Old Testament system, you know. The Ten Commandment system. From Mount Sinai, you can't miss what it is talked about. Read on.
For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia.
Uh-huh.
And answer it to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children.
Mm-hmm. In bondage. You see, the law, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It matters not how a person live perfectly by the Ten Commandments system. You can never stand right before God. I think in one lesson in this series, I'm going to take up how Jesus Christ took up the Old Testament system and compare it with the system of grace and point out it was said by them of old, but I say. And in every instant, Jesus Christ showed the limitation of the Old Testament. It was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, or something like that. But I say, if you, I believe, hate your brother or something like that. You see, and what sometimes we don't realize is how limited. I show here that you could stand blameless by the Ten Commandments system, when in the sight of God you are the chief of sinners. And in one passage tonight, I'm going to show, the Bible going to show you, that the Jews, watch here now, the Gentiles did not have the law. The Jews had the law. But the Jews with the Ten Commandments system was in no way morally or spiritually better than the Gentiles. We're going to read that passage tonight, if time permits. So let us get back to Galatians chapter 4. What verse are you, brother?
26.
Read on.
But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
And the mother of us all, it means those who are saved, the Christian, and all those who will be saved. Our city is not the Jerusalem that is now. In fact, right at this very moment is pure threat and war. The war going on now there between the Arabs and Israel is right there in that spot, in that area at least, not in Jerusalem proper. Read on, brother.
For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not.
Mm-hmm.
Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not.
Mm-hmm.
For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
The we is referring to the Christian, you know. Get it. The we is referring to the Christian. We represent the children that comes from the free woman. Our covenant is not the one that was given at Mount Sinai. Read on.
But as he that was born after the flesh,
well, you listen to this now, uh-huh,
persecuted him that was born after the spirit.
It's just in many sermons and even lessons, there are passages I want to share that would further enlighten you, but time. I remember this morning when I brought up the Moabites, that David became sort of friendly with. I wanted to go to the book of Numbers 22 to show how it was these same Moabites that call on Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But time permit, well, it's just like what the brother has just read, that the child of the bond woman, the child of the slave, persecute the child of the free woman. That was talking about how Ishmael, after the two boys grew up, they were almost the same age. Ishmael was, of course, a little older than Isaac. Ishmael keep provoking and nagging Isaac. And Sarah going to get in the picture. Read that again, brother.
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit.
Now, the one that was born after the spirit is Isaac. And that is telling that Isaac represents the gospel, New Testament Christianity, Jesus Christ. That's right. Ishmael represents the Ten Commandments system, the law. Read on.
Even so it is now.
Wait. I wish this was a discussion. Because what it is saying, men and women who want to go by the law, the Ten Commandments system, Sabbath and all, they are the one who give Christianity its greatest problem. That's a fact. That's a fact. To this day, the Jews do not accept Christ and Christianity. That's right. In the Arab world, we had to talk about Allah. Jesus Christ is subordinate to Muhammad. Muhammad is the true prophet. So in every way you take it, those who sprung from Ishmael is still persecuting that which come from Isaac. Read on.
Nevertheless, what said the scriptures,
uh-huh,
cast out the bondwoman and her son.
Watch here. Oh, no. Brothers and sisters, that is a divine statement. That statement is loaded and has a lot of lesson for us. What say the scripture mean? What says God? That is, has God any comment on these two boys growing up in Abraham's house with the two mother? Has God any comment? Remember, the two boy, Ishmael and Isaac, represent two covenants. But the one from the slave woman, referring to Ishmael, keep provoking the one from the free woman. The one from the free woman is Isaac. But then, that's the human side. What says the scripture? What says God as it relates to the two covenant? These two children, representative of the two covenant. What he says?
Cast out the bond woman and her son.
Cast out the bond woman, the slave woman, and her son.
For the son of the bond woman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman.
Both of them now go share anything. God. Oh, wait, don't move from the passage. The offspring of the slave woman not going to share with Isaac. And God has said that, you know. And it's referring to the two systems. The law and Christianity, the law and grace. They cannot live together. Yeah, people who want to, okay, I'll practice my Sabbath because it is from God, and I'll hold on to the New Testament because Christ died for me. That cannot work. That's what the passage is teaching. God never meant for them to work. They are, in a way, antagonistic towards each other. Read on.
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Everybody hear that? Listen again. Cast out.
Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with the son of the free woman.
That means the two children not going to live in the same house. They're not going to share anything. You know, when Sarah I always enjoy reading that passage, you know, the contrariness in human beings. And how we can sometimes set our own trap. Because she was the one who encouraged her husband to do what he did. And when she finally had her child, and almost daily it seems that the two child was having, and children do have their little quarrel. But for Sarah, it was no children quarrel. And she go and quarrel on her husband Abraham and said, this slave woman and my son not going to live in the same house. That's right. She go and raise Cain and raise Limbo or that other place. And her husband Abraham made immediate arrangement for Hagar and Ishmael to leave the house. Gave them their little package and sent them away. Watch here now. God was a part of that. Because you'll say, what a wicked man Abraham. In those age, when you send people out anything can happen to them. But watch here. The Almighty God was watching over Hagar and Ishmael. God would take care of them. And God did take care of them. But they would not live in the same house. Law and grace do not mix. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. The two covenants cannot coexist. They were not meant by God to coexist. That is the Ten Commandments system, and the gospel was never meant by the Almighty God to coexist. May I just drop something right here? I intend to deal with this. Jesus Christ. Remember, before the world began, God had the plan of salvation, of which you and I are a part, of which you and I are beneficiaries. God never meant for Jesus Christ to have any help outside of the gospel. You must be mindful of that. Other than the church is represented in the New Testament when the Bible says that the church is Christ's body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is, the church is Christ's complement. But any other thing you attach to Jesus Christ, like he needs help? No. And whenever, watch here, when the Bible tells us that anyone who attempt to be saved by the law, anyone who want to hold on to the law system and hold on to Christ, the Bible says you are fallen from grace. Because you are underestimating Jesus Christ. Christ no need no help. The world wait for Christ. The law wait for Christ. The Almighty God knew that he wanted the law only to serve to keep a sense of right and wrong on earth. But that the law could not make any man or woman right in the sight of God. So whenever men and women today bring in Sabbath or whatever, giving you the idea you need to keep the Sabbath to be saved, just you or I accepting that falsehood separate us from Christ. When it says you are fallen from grace, the Bible is telling you backslide. Are we out here? Whenever, as a child of God, you take up the falsehood that you must keep Sabbath, or that you must be circumcised as a part of your Christianity, or you must keep Ten Commandments as a part of Christianity. Anyway you take up that, you immediately cut off yourself from Christ. Did I say keep Ten Commandments? Don't read into that I say you must not live by moral principle. You see, moral principle existed before the Ten Commandments. In other words, it was wrong to kill from God created man. It was wrong to steal. It was wrong to commit adultery. It was wrong to lie. But all of that is in reference to God's nature. That some Sabbatarian or Seventh-day Adventist will say, there it is. Isn't it wrong to kill? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But it is not because of the Ten Commandments. It's because of God. It's wrong to kill when there was no Ten Commandments. It's wrong to covet when there was no Ten Commandments. Because anything that is against God's nature is sinful. And it has no reference to the... Okay, so here we see the bond woman and her son shall not inherit, share, be a part of that which belonged to the free woman and her son. Cast out, meaning they cannot coexist together. What verse is that, brother?
31. End of chapter 4.
Okay, stop there. Okay. Let us look at one more point. I intend for us to look at least 3 points. Well, no, let me go on. They cannot. Grace and faith. Look at Romans chapter 4, 13 through 14. Quick. These are additional passages on the same point, you know, that the two system, the law, the Ten Commandments system, and the gospel, New Testament Christianity were never meant by God to work together. You cannot hold on to the Sabbath and the law and hold on to Christianity at the same time. Let us hear Romans chapter 4, 13 and 14.
For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law.
Wait. Everybody hear that? Read that again, Vivian.
For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law.
That is, you see, it is separating that promise that God made to Abraham 430 years before the law. That God's promise did not depend on the law. The law came 430 years after. Read on.
But through the righteousness of faith.
That's right, faith. You see, what it is showing, you know, in effect, that faith and law don't work together. Read on.
For if they which are of the law be hearers, faith is made void.
You all get it? If they which are of the
law be hearers,
if they are hearers of the promise by the law,
faith is made void.
Faith, and that is talk about faith in Christ, is made nothing. You cannot mix the two of them. That's the end of verse 14.
And the promise made of none effect.
The promise that God made to Abraham, that through his seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed. Any way you tie that to the law, the Ten Commandments system, that promise become void. In effect, tell you, them no work together. That's the end of 14. Yes. Let us turn to the same Romans, chapter 3, verse 28. Romans.
Chapter
3, verse 28.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Everybody get that? Aren't these plain passage? No. The Apostle Paul puts easily right. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified
by faith.
By faith. Wait, he could just stop here. But the Holy Spirit directing him, let him know that what or what I, Father, God, want to do system. Read it again.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
By faith.
Without
the deeds of the law. God going to make you and me and every obedient person righteous when we accept Jesus Christ and the gospel. Christ as our Lord and Savior and the gospel as the principle by which we live. Not with the law. Without the law. Because they don't mix. They were never meant so by God. That was 28. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 2. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, verse 5, verse 11, verse 12, verse 17. Let us hear it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2.
This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith.
Yo, wait. Watch here now. It's not both and. It's either or. That's the presentation he's making here. It's not the law and faith. It's either the law or faith. Start again, brother, at verse 2.
This only would I learn of you.
Mm-hmm.
Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or
when
by the hearing of faith.
All that the Spirit represents, did you receive it by the works of the law? Or did it come to you by the hearing of faith? They know it's when they believe in Jesus Christ. They got what they got. That was verse 2. Verse 5.
He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith.
You see, brothers and sisters, this Paul here is one of the great teachers of the New Testament. And when it said, he who does what?
Ministereth to you the Spirit.
He who ministers the Spirit. That is referring to himself. The gift that I give to you by the laying of my hand enable you to perform miracle. And all that, the wonders of God that you see working through me. Did I do it coming to you with the law, the Ten Commandments system? Or was it coming to you with Christ and the gospel? It's not both and.
That's right.
It's either or. That's the presentation he's putting to them here. It cannot be the law and faith, or the law and the gospel. It must be one.
That's right.
That was verse 5 you have just read. Let us hear verse 11 also.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
You hear? That no man is justified by the law. The word just and the word righteous is taken from the same Greek word. Meaning, nobody going to stand righteous before God by doing, even if you were able to keep the Ten Commandment law perfectly, you would find out that at the end of the day, you are still a sinner in God's sight. And the passage the brothers just read shows that is verse 11. Was it verse 11?
Yeah, verse 11.
Yes, read it again.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
And that is referring to faith in Jesus Christ. that no man is justified. No man. Doesn't matter how you see people like Sabbatarian go to church and what. They cannot stand right before God in this life or the one to come. Because they are bringing something in God's plan of salvation that God knows cannot work. It never did work and it cannot work. Verse 12.
And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them.
You hear that simple statement? The law is not of faith. The law and faith, they are not even cousin or third cousin. The law and faith, no mix. That's what that means. The law is not of faith. The two of them are like putting oil and water together. They don't mix. That's verse 12. Verse 17.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect.
You see, the promise that God made to Abraham, that through his seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed, that is the thing that was referring to Christ and the gospel and Christianity and the church. Don't bring the law in. That was just thrown in to make men and women become conscious of wrong or right, but it was never meant to deal with man's sin. That's why the Bible keeps pointing out that by the deeds of the law, remember the Sabbath was a part of the law. By the deeds of the law, what does it mean? The activity, the precept, shall no flesh be justified. You can never stand right before God living according to the law. And all these passages, the brother has just read. Verse 17, no?
Yes,
verse 18.
For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise.
And here all this is reasoning, this great inspired writer. If the inheritance is of the law, if the promise God made to Abraham come from the law, because that promise was made to be dependent on faith, then the promise becomes null and void. And that cannot be. Look at one or two more passages and the lesson will be yours. Let us look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 4.
Christ is become of no effect unto you, whoever of you are justified by the law.
I wonder if everybody understands the impact of that statement. This is not saying Christ become of no effect if you just live in total disobedience out there. No. What the passage, the verse, the brother is saying, when you want to bring the law in to your Christianity, be it animal sacrifice, keeping Sabbath, and all of that, any attempt you make to bring it in as part of your salvation, that attempt by you and me cut us off from the grace of God in Christ. That's right. Read it again. It's a passage you all well know, you know.
Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law.
May I remember there were people in the church at Gaul that were misled by false teachers teaching them that they must keep the law while embracing the principle of New Testament Christianity. That was what was going on at the church in Gaul. And Paul writing back to them, let them know that cannot work. You cannot be a true child of God trying to live by the law system, the Ten Commandments system, and by the gospel of Christ. That cut you off from Christ. Because what you are in effect saying, Jesus Christ and the gospel is not sufficient, is not enough. And God is saying, Jesus Christ and the gospel is more than sufficient, more than enough. That's why they don't mix. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law.
Everybody hear that? When you are under something, it means you are under its rule and regulation. This passage is saying we are not under the law. Christians are not.
But under grace.
Under grace. You notice? It's not that you're under both. You are not under this one, the law. The Sabbath was a part of the law. But you're under grace. It separate them. They do not mix.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law?
Very important that you understand this. Paul was afraid that they would draw the wrong conclusion. It's just the same way you are discussing with a Seventh-day Adventist, and he said, okay, since we are not under the Ten Commandments, we can go and steal, we can go and commit fornication and adultery, we can go and lie and commit murder. Oh, they missed the point. Miss it completely. Anything that was wrong before the law is still wrong today. The law does not make anything wrong or right. It is God's holy nature, God's word, or God's purpose that make a thing wrong or right. Anyway you or I go against God's holy nature, we sin, whether God said anything and it are not. Once we do something contrary to his nature, we sin. That's one. Two, once we go against the word of God, we sin. Three, once we go against the purpose of God, we sin. Has nothing to do with whether God said it or not. Let me wrap up now, please. Just let me hear this passage. Let me leave that be. May I just hear Romans 11:6?
And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
That's right. That is, works is referring to the law. A passage that I'm going to give you to read, quite interesting, is Romans chapter 7. From verse 2 following. Just start it, and we are going to close on that. Just start it. I won't comment on that tonight.
For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man.
Read.
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body
Stop
of Christ.
Stop there. You're here. We're not going to, I may take up a little of this, but the Bible is so plain. We are free to marry to Jesus Christ now. Because we are dead to the law, or the law is dead to us. Just like the whoop. It's an illustration he's making, you know. And the illustration is about the law and grace. We become dead to the law. That means it has no more authority, no more effect on us. Anyway, let me stop there. Thank you for the time. You know, I